call this back here the landfill.
The landfill.
The
Wow.
landfill, because that's where it's going when I'm gone.
Oh man,
Right
that's
into the
terrible.
landfill.
Wow. That's
'Cause
too much stuff to take to the landfill.
my family wouldn't know what the hell to do with it.
I know, right?
Yep.
Well, the thing with mine is I have a 25-year-old daughter, and she's listened to this music, since she was about two or three. So I reckon the majority of it'll go to her if she wants it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I met you at the Rockin' Pod Expo a few years ago. You were walking around, and I told my wife, I was like, there's Jason McMaster. It's a thrill to meet you guys, because just being a fan, I've listened to your music since like 1985, the hair metal, the whole genre, and I want to keep it going. I'm a 53-year-old man that still listens to hair metal, but I don't have a problem with that,
Yeah, I'll be 60 in March, and has the show started? Because this is good shit. We need to be recording this.
Yeah,
Or
well, it's recording right
you're
now. Yes,
recording
sir.
good. So
I'm kind of weird with podcasts. I don't
no
this is
rules,
all
man.
you'll be like the 26th person I've ever interviewed. And if
Oh, all
you go
right.
listen to the first two or three, I was so scared trying to talk on a microphone. I actually spent a week typing out what I was going to say on my first podcast. And you can
Okay.
tell,
That's to comment on that, I was hired to host a like a VJ, like a video host on a local public access network, actually. And long story short, I used to type out everything I was going to say just out of nerves because I wanted to get it right and have some background information on who I was talking about. And you can totally tell. And what as soon as that aired and I watched it just to kind of grade myself, because that's how you get better, is record yourself and listen and watch and see what the hell's really going on. Because tape doesn't lie. Tape tells you the truth. And so if you look like, sound like shit out there on the internet or on tape that people are pressing play on and listening and they're like, you're fucked.
I
So,
know.
yeah, I went in and I went in and just started winging it, and just having little tidbits of information to like little one-liners that would remind me about what I was. Yeah, and it's just way better. Nothing, I don't do anything scripted, you know. I probably couldn't be a very good actor because I would want to have to wing. I mean, I would kind of get the lines out, but I would, almost have to come up with my own way,
Well, that's how I am. I could learn lines, but it would be a lot of ad-libbing, because I would add
Yeah,
what I
that's it.
wanted to it,
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I
You're
feel the same. I want to get into, you were mentioning hair metal and your daughter and you and I feel like the people that kind of know my what's going on in here, they know that it's been documented that I do not care for the I need to get over that because it's not all
Sure.
about me. But the term hair metal, I don't like it because
Right.
hair shouldn't have to do anything with what's on your speakers.
I agree. I
But I
agree.
understand that some pundits and journalists and et cetera, and they feel like they have to separate things. And I get that. That's just organizing. If you're a music critic and you're gonna review a Jethro Tull record, and then you're gonna review an AC/DC record, and then you're gonna review a Pink Floyd record, eventually you're gonna have reviewed hundreds of records or songs or bands or whatever, and you're gonna have to file those.
Sure.
This is a terrible example, or is it, right? And so I understand about just calling a certain thing because of the way that it looks and maybe not because of the way that it sounds. I mean, this might be a bad example, but Poison does not sound like Aerosmith.
No.
You see what
Right.
I mean, though?
Sure.
But some people would put Aerosmith, oh my God, that's a sin, in the same box with Poison as hair metal. Is Aerosmith hair metal?
No.
No. Well, what
Well,
are
see
they? What are they then?
but see the whole trouble with the whole 80s era is, even like Metal Edge magazine, they put Aerosmith in there because they came out with the album Pump. All right, and they started playing, some of their songs on the radio. So you look in Metal Edge magazine and it's like you just said, you have Poison and you have Aerosmith in there. Why they were in there, I don't know, but it's a shame because everybody in that era was grouped into one thing,
Yeah, they
okay?
had, I'm sorry to interrupt, they had Metallica in Metal Edge as well.
Sure,
Yeah.
right, exactly, and
So,
that's not hair at all.
no,
I guess if
but
you
the record, I'm sorry, the magazine is called Metal Edge Magazine. It's not called Hair Metal Magazine.
true,
So.
true, but like I say, everything's just kind of just it seemed like everything was like the Headbangers Ball. They didn't manipulate hair because they played anything on it. They played Exodus, they played Metallica,
Yeah,
they played
Exodus and
Nuclear
Bon Jovi.
Assault.
Yeah, Exodus and
Mixed
Bon
with
Jovi. Yeah.
right, mixed with Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
But I loved anything to do. I read Metal Edge religiously. I read Rip magazine religiously
Yeah,
because
man.
that's how I learned. And you don't know what you're reading is true. I mean, the world we live in, you don't know what's true and what's not true. It's just how it is, But I read everything I possibly could read about bands. I would see, like, when Teasin' and Pleasin' came on the Headbangers Ball, okay, I'm like, this is great. This is. I interviewed Paul a couple of weeks ago. He calls it stomp rock because you
Yeah.
stomp your feet to it when you're listening to it. It's not hair and all that stuff, but the point I was trying to make is anything I saw on the Headbangers Ball, that just introduced me to so many things. So many different, and I'm not a strictly a I love Dangerous Toys. I love this band right here.
Yeah, man.
You
Yeah.
know, I love the music.
Well, that's not hair metal either.
No, it's
No.
not. But I call my podcast, the Hair Metal Rules podcast. That's what I, you
That's
know, that's
fine.
what I stuck with. And I get a
Yeah.
lot of crap on Instagram. Because I don't just post, Brittany Fox or Poison or whatever. I posted Dangerous Toys not long ago. I decided my theme that day was music soundtracks. All
Oh
right,
yeah.
Dangerous Toys
Yeah.
was on Bill and Ted. Was it Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? You guys
No, sir.
saying
No, sir.
no?
No, sir.
Shocker?
Correct.
Yes, Shocker. And it
Correct.
was Gypsy. What was
Nope.
no?
Nope. Let me know when you want me to tell you. I
Go
like
ahead.
this
Hey, I'm
game.
sorry. Go ahead.
Demon Bell.
Demon Bell, that's right.
Yeah,
That's right.
it's
I
not
posted
it's
that on my account.
Yeah, you can't get that song anywhere else unless you get a live version off of a live DVD that we put out a while back.
Right.
Yeah.
I talk a lot. I'm sorry.
No,
If
that's good. That's good. It's your show. You talk all you want.
you'd have been on my first cast, you would have heard crickets chirping, trust me.
Well, see, because you had everything written down and you were probably, yeah, that's all good. Obviously, you got this shit down now where you're more comfortable. That's great. So, I think that if just the term hair metal, if you post something, whatever, Dangerous Toys or Rhino Bucket or whatever, which are not hair metal in my opinion,
No.
it's okay for others to just, like I started this show with, lumping everything into whatever box they feel comfortable for their brain because they're just trying to organize their music. I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I don't get
Right.
it. I mean, I listened to the Scorpions and Jethro Tull this morning, and what I call it, 70s rock. That's
Sure.
what
Yeah,
I call
70.
it.
Right.
That's what I call it. Yeah.
Right. But the whole goal of I started my IG page back during COVID. Didn't really have a whole lot to do. And it all started just talking to people on Instagram and Instant Messenger, and I have so much stuff. I tried to mail it to them to get it signed.
Yeah.
You signed something for me. You signed the index card for me that I have here, and
Okay.
I got the Broken Teeth album from you off your website. But my point is, my whole goal was to just put stuff on my IG page that I like. I mean,
Sure.
I put King Diamond on there.
Hell yeah.
I've put Annihilator on there. It's just,
Yeah.
I listened to a whole lot more than just Poison and Rat and all that
Yeah.
stuff.
Oh, well, everyone does. And they, you know, whatever it's like you don't have your wardrobe doesn't have to match your music taste.
True.
You know what I mean?
True.
That's kind of what we're really talking about right now, isn't it?
Right.
Well, what else you got for me? I'm sorry to go on a rant about the name of your show.
No, it's, hey, trust me. I get a lot of flack on Instagram, but you know what? That's fine. That's
No, that's
why
your,
we have
yeah,
opinions.
it shouldn't define you, and I
No.
think that it just having it as a cool handle is
That's
good.
right.
Yeah, that's right.
That was my whole goal. But anyway, I didn't realize you're a busy man. I was on your website earlier. I didn't realize, and I'm ashamed to say it, my introduction to you was Dangerous Toys.
Yes, sir.
I did not know about the band Watchtower.
Yeah, I have what they still call underground background.
Right.
And Watchtower has had quite a few resurgences during during the highs of Dangerous Toys and during the lows of Dangerous Toys. I've been asked by promoters and such to get back with those guys and go play festivals in Europe. And we do warm-up shows around here, around Texas,
Right.
whenever we do that. And we've done that 2 or 3 times, this sort of like mini resurgence. We're celebrating the 40th year anniversary of our debut record, which came out in 85, in 25. So next year, and there will be the record I speak of is called Energetic Disassembly.
Okay.
And it came out late 85, and High Roller Records in Germany next year is doing a they're doing it's cool. They're going to do the original mixes, like the audio, original, because there's a lot of purists in the underground. They want to hear the original when there's a reissue. They don't want to
Yes.
hear some newfangled, oh, it's been, we fixed it.
Sure,
No,
sure.
you fucked it
Remastered.
up. Right.
Remastered.
Remixed. I mean,
Right,
we went
right.
in and turned the guitars up and took the
Yeah.
reverb, all the stupid 80s reverb off the vocals and the drums, and we did all whatever we did to it. Some of the purists are not gonna like it, and they're just gonna be like, I only like the original, and that's fine.
Sure.
That's fine. So they're gonna have two versions on vinyl. It'll be the original version without any bonus tracks. Just comes out exactly how they remember it. And then we're going to have a secondary vinyl sold separately. The artwork will be slightly altered from each other.
Right.
And that's going to have bonus material, the remixes, extended intros, and all these goodies and Easter eggs we found on the master tapes when we were digitizing them. And then they're going to put together a double disc CD where you get both of those as well in one CD. So looking
That's
forward to that. But yeah, I had a whole decade prior to anything called Dangerous Toys.
well, what got you started into music?
I have brothers, I have two older brothers, I have a younger brother, and my go-to answer is their record
Their
collections and
record,
their
right? Yes.
influence. Even my younger brother is the one that turned, I was a Kiss freak. I was an Elton John freak. Then I got into Kiss and all of the, Rush and Ted Nugent, and but I got to tell you, it was my younger brother that turned me on to AC/DC and Judas Priest.
Nice.
Probably in 79,
Right.
78. And those my formative years of about 5 to 6 years were really made up of Elton and Kiss and Queen. Queen was another one because one of my older brothers gave me News of the World by Queen, and then I just worked my way backwards because I fell in love with that too. And then you sprinkle in David Bowie and Alice Cooper and all that. I love that kind of shit. So, and then it just got, years went by and it got heavier and heavier. As soon as I heard, I mean, Queen was already pretty heavy. I mean, they were every kind of music, a rock music rolled into one group.
Right. Yes,
They
most
had
definitely.
metal songs. They were detuning their guitars in the 70s, just like Black Sabbath. There was all this cool shit going on with Queen. So they were a main, it's like, wow, what kind of music is this? Because it was, they had elements of opera, obviously. They had, pop songs. They had ragtime songs with mandolins and banjos. They had, wow, they had some ethereal stuff. They were progressive. And every person in the band was top-notch musician.
Right.
Everybody sang and wrote songs. Kind of mind-blowing. But Kiss was the same. And then I also liked some solo artists too, like Elton and, like I said, Alice Cooper and such. But the point, my brothers, and I always wanted to. We had a stand-up piano in the house, and I used to bang on that. I remember being about 8 or 9 years old and just banging on that, and everyone would leave the room when I would bang on it. So I didn't have an audience, and that was fine with
Right.
me because I didn't know how to play it, and that was obvious by what was coming out. But one day I figured out "Joy to the World," right?
Okay.
Dun dun da dun da dun dun dun. Well, if you play that the other way, if you play that upscale instead of downscale, it's just a major scale. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, joy to the world has come, right? So
Right.
once I, and I didn't know what the hell that was. I thought I was going, look, mom, I learned joy to the world. And later on, I figured out that's a major scale and you can play it anywhere on the keys. Now, I'm not a keyboardist. You don't want to hear me play keyboard still to this day, 50 something years later. You
Right.
don't want to hear me, even though I love Elton John and Queen, which are piano heavy, right? So there were little moments like that, these sort of aha moments in my childhood. My older brother Mitch and my mom pitched in and bought me my first bass guitar.
Right.
And that would have been 77, 78, 77, 78, something like that. And I was just, you, once that happened, you couldn't get me out of my room. At least I wasn't getting in trouble.
Sure. There you go. Exactly. Yes.
I was in my, they knew, my parents knew where I was 24/7. And if it was summertime, forget about it. I had a moon tan.
Moon
I was
tan.
inside all the time, just dropping the needle, learning how to play that bass. And I didn't even know how to tune it. I didn't have any lessons, but I could play along with all my records somehow, some way. Where there's a will, there's a way.
Right.
And I just figured a bunch of stuff out, and then I started playing with some older guys in a band at like age 14, I think. And I learned a lot from those guys. And then eventually I was booted out because I think I cramped their style. They were older, they were thinking about girls, and I just wanted to play rock and roll. I didn't know anything about girls. I didn't know that rock and roll would lead to other things.
Lead to the
I
girls.
didn't care about that because I didn't know anything about that. I was so enamored and under a spell of these musicians who I thought were magicians. My first concert was Rush with UFO and Max Webster in 77, and I cried. I had an outer body experience. I
Hey.
lost my head, and I was on a mission after that. I mean, Jesus, I'm watching UFO and Rush, and I'm just like, what is happening right now? Why am I so excited about this? And I don't think it was the contact high from the terrible dirt weed that the dudes next to me were smoking from my 12 or 13-year-old brain. I really do blame it on the music. And man, you couldn't. I didn't. A friend of mine. I've explained this stuff to publicly to in interviews and things before, and I had friends of mine who know me respond, and they say shit like, "Yeah, you didn't stand a chance."
Right.
And I love that. They're exactly right. Soon as I went to my first concert, it was all over for me. Fuck school, fuck church,
It
fuck
was all, that's
everything.
it, right.
It was my church, it was my school, and that was my college, that was my life, and it has been ever since. Good or bad, terrible, whatever. People who know, I mean, I'm a decent guy. People
Sure.
who know me and have met me, I'm totally normal.
Well, you know, don't feel bad about getting emotional because I'm not afraid to
Oh,
say it.
I don't.
You know, if I go to a concert, especially somebody that I've always listened to, like me and my wife always go to M3 every year, if at all possible. And you get to see so many great bands, and I've never seen those bands before live back in the day. And you know, my wife will be looking at me. She'll be like, "It's coming, it's coming," and I get emotional because their music means so much to me. And I'm actually, 35 years later, I'm actually seeing them play, you know, live. So
Amen.
that's a great feeling. That just means you're
Yes.
passionate, you know.
That's right. That's right. Well, and you like I said, I mean, I didn't literally think they were magicians, but my young brain was couldn't help but think it was magic because they're just adults, somewhat adults,
Right.
and they're banging on wood and wire. That's it.
Right.
They're banging on wood and wire in time.
Exactly. Or in
Yeah,
time, right.
they're creating a time machine. I mean, music is kind of a time machine. There's a tempo, that's time.
Yes.
And there are some songs by Rush or some progressive bands, and Watchtower is definitely one of these. Sounds like all of the instruments falling down the stairs in
Right.
time.
It right.
How? Because it's, it's like jazz, but there's a tempo in there. You may
I
not be
think that's
able
what.
to feel it because you're not that good at math. You might be okay at math, but you may not be able to feel that, time signature that they're playing,
Well, I think
because
that's
they're.
what that's the what that's what I really liked about progressive music. I'm a huge Fates Warning fan.
Oh yeah.
I'm a huge Dream Theater fan, and even in high school, I had buddies that were in. You know, back then everybody had a band. You
Yeah.
know, but
Oh
I
yeah.
lived in Sanford, North Carolina, my hometown, and nobody was there to watch you. It was just the kids from high school that were supporting you. But nonetheless, I would ask them to play, you know, play a Fates Warning song, and the guy that was doing the drumming is like, "There's too many tempo changes in that. I can't keep up." But it's beautiful music. One of my favorite albums is Parallels by Fates Warning, and I've listened to that so many times now. I actually understand the album. Does that make sense? I've listened to it so much, but just the tempo changes in progressive music, it's amazing that people are very talented that play that style of music.
Yeah, I learned a lot being in Watchtower in my early years. I cut my teeth as a singer. I was only singing for about 6 months before I joined Watchtower in May of 1982.
Right.
So, and I had never heard anything like that. Here's with these, kids. We're all still in high school pretty much, and they're writing their own songs, and they sound like Rush on speed or something. So,
Right.
later on, Fates Warning and Watchtower and bands like that would influence Dream Theater. We got fan mail, I mean, I guess I can call that, from Mike Portnoy before Dream Theater was called Dream Theater. They were called Majesty.
Right.
And they were at Berklee School of Music, and they had discovered the record I was just talking about, which came out in 85. So that would give you a window around the time that Mike sent me a letter saying, "We just got your record and we love it. And here's a bunch of demo tapes of our band Majesty. We're here at Berklee." I wish I still had those letters. Anyway, That stuff is great. And technical thrash metal is what Watchtower has been called before,
Right.
because a lot of it was intricate, but it was super like bombastic and speedy, you know. And I think that that's what a lot of people liked about it. And the heavier and faster music got during the 80s, with the big four, if you will, Metallica and Slayer, Anthrax, Megadeth, yada yada. And there's all the German movement, the European
Right.
thrash metal movement was all happening around the same time. And the tape trading scene, Europe and the US, it was crazy. And everybody, that was helping music become faster and, forgive the term, angrier, because it was just crazy,
Sure.
heavier and faster, and the lyrical topics were out of this world, and
Oh, yeah.
nothing was sacred anymore. And that helped the music grow in all these different ways. And so it was great to be a part of that underground. And then, the toys, that was like a me moonlighting. They
Wow.
had a band and they said, "Hey, we lost our singer. You want to be our singer?" I go, I'll fill in till you find somebody permanent." 6 months later, got a record deal. Weren't even trying to get signed. Playing cover songs and shit. Somebody just saw us in Austin and said, "Hey, you want to make records?" We were like, "Wait, what?" Not even trying to make records. We're just trying to eat.
Well, you guys had a great sound, and I'll go back to what Paul said. Paul's right. I mean, that music, you're stomping your feet, you're tapping your feet. Dangerous Toys was in your face, rock and roll, and I enjoyed when the very first album came out. I went and got it on cassette, and there's so many great songs on that album.
Yeah.
It's just good. You're listening to, per se, Lily and Axe, and then you throw Dangerous Toys in there, and it's like, wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that anyone liked it, and I
Oh,
feel
yeah.
lucky. I feel lucky when someone such as yourself, that our music had an obvious positive effect and made your heart beat faster and made you want to get out of
Yeah.
bed and made you understand that, we're here to have a good time. So let's have a good time.
I mean, sporting a Woody. I mean, who hasn't done that? I mean, what a damn great song. I mean, come on.
Well, a lot of people have done that. ZZ Top with Tube Snake Boogie and
Yes. Yes.
Slip Inside My Sleeping Bag.
Thank you.
Aerosmith with 10-inch record. Jackal's got a couple of songs. I call them
Sure.
dick. I call them, cock rock,
Cock rock. There you
dick
go.
songs.
But I mean, like I said, how great is that album here? And we used to live in an apartment, and I can't couldn't crank music up as loud in an apartment, because then
Yeah.
you got somebody beating on you. But where we're at now, we actually live in a house now, and I can turn that up just as loud as I want to turn it
Sure.
up. And who
Sure.
cares if somebody comes knocking on the door? You know what I mean?
Sure. Or you can use your headphones.
Well. You can,
You're
but
like,
you
man,
can't
that's
walk
no
around the house.
fun.
You can't walk to the other end of the house unless you. I don't have all that. I actually went to the thrift store, Jason, and built a system, because I had one when I was in high school, in a cabinet, and the speakers and all that stuff. So I literally took my chances and bought a receiver, a tape deck. You don't know if it's really going to work or not.
Oh, I
You'll get
get
it,
you.
and it'll
Yeah,
say
you.
one side works, one side
Yeah.
doesn't. But I just, shopped around and finally just built me one, and found a turntable, and it just sounds so much better. Vinyl just cranked as loud as you can crank. You know that. You 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 you've got plenty of vinyl,
Oh,
so.
yeah. Well, mine's I had to break down and get something that was, I'll just use the word convenient, and it has Bluetooth on it. Now, make note, I don't use the Bluetooth on my turntable, but it does have a Bluetooth on it. And sometimes I have to use earbuds to do research and listen to music, you know. So,
Right.
but that's all right. That's all right. I'm not I'm way more analog than I am digital, but I have to use digital sometimes because of geographical, you know,
Yes.
where I'm at. I have to
Yes.
use digital. Yeah.
Yeah, my cell phone, I have one bar, but luckily we have the internet, so at least I can get a, you know, at least I can get on my phone and talk. But where I'm at, there's one bar, you know. I get what you're saying. That's pretty aggravating. So you sang on the live Dirty Looks album, is that correct?
That
At
is
the
correct.
race, it was like at the racetrack or something, right?
Cool from the Speedway.
Cool from the Speedway.
That's the name of the record.
How was it singing Dirty Looks songs? I have heard that. I'm a huge Dirty Looks fan
Oh, me
and a
too.
huge Paul Idell fan.
Oh, me
And
too.
I love that music so much. It you know, you had an AC when I first heard Old Ruby on Headbangers Ball, I'm like, damn, I've got to go buy that. And
Yeah.
fortunately, you know, back then you spent $7.99 on a tape and you knew one song and you hoped the rest of the tape was good. But Cool from the Wire is one of the best. I like every song on
100%.
you know. So how was it? How was it screaming out some Dirty Look songs?
I love those songs, and I love all the guys, and I befriended those guys. As soon as I heard them, just like you, I heard Ruby first, and I
Yeah.
know where I was. I was in a hotel in San Antonio getting ready to do a Dangerous Toys gig. So
Wow.
that would have been in 87. And it would have been late 87, like
Yeah.
winter 87, and or spring 88, you know, but early, you know, right
Yeah,
after that
right.
record came out. And I heard it on 99.5 Kiss in San Antonio on a clock radio, sitting on the nightstand in a hotel while we were just getting ready to go to the gig. We were listening to the radio, and I was like leaning over, "Hey, you guys hearing this? You guys hear this fucking song? This is called Oh Ruby, and it's by this some band, Dirty Looks." I mean, we didn't know, you know, it was
Yeah.
new. And so didn't think much about it. About a week later, I still had that song in my head, and I started looking around, and I finally got the record, and man, I was blown away. Well, fast forward, it was October 11th, 1989. We had obviously gotten our deal and recorded our record in late 88, which is like
Right.
a year after I heard Cool from the Wire. And we're starting our first tour. Well, we had already toured, done a club tour, and we were starting up with LA Guns and Tora Tora in Austin, in our hometown, October 11th at the Austin Opera House. And the same night, this would have been 89, so they had Turn of the Screw was out.
Right,
And they were
yes.
touring Turn of the Screw. And they were playing the same night, just a couple of miles down the road from where we were. So it was the first night of my tour with LA Guns, and we played our set. I think I stayed, you know, for two LA Guns songs before I was going to head over to the club. So I'm on my way backstage to get my shit and go and leave, because we had already played. We went on second.
Right.
So, and it was an earlier start time. And, you know, so it was only 10 o'clock, you know, ish. And I'm going into the backstage area where my shit was. And I open the door, and there's Paul and Jack from Dirty Look standing right in front of me, just this close to me. And I'm like, "You guys are in Dirty Looks." You know, I recognized them right away. I was
Sure.
like, "Oh my God, I'm not worthy," kind of a moment, right? And yeah, I chatted them up and said, "I'm on my way over there, but you guys are here. Wow, that's weird." And they go, "Yeah, we're about to head over there. We were just looking for you because we wanted you to know we came to the show, and our management called your management, and we're big fans, and we just wanted to come see you guys." And I'm like, "Ditto, Same, right? So that relationship was started way back then, right? And so went to the show, hung out with all the guys, and totally befriended Dirty Looks. Fast forward to 93, the toys had, done well, and we had just finished a tour with Judas Priest, Alice Cooper, Motorhead, and Metal Church in the summer of 91, and we were home writing songs, and we were going to put out an independent record, which ended up being Pissed, the third Toys record, and we had guitar player issues. We had Danny Aaron was leaving the group, and that's fine. So we needed somebody, and me and Scott were like, you know who we need to call? And we called Paul. And they were doing Five Easy Pieces, and he had already committed to all of it, but he was like ready to just set it on fire and get in the car and come to Texas, but he couldn't because Paul's a straight up,
Oh yeah.
he's
Nice
straight
guy.
shooter,
Great guy.
best guy ever. Honest, straightest, sweetest. I love Paul. I love him. Anyway, so he was unavailable, but he goes, I'm gonna let you know as soon as I am available. And I was like, shit. So we ended up getting a buddy of ours, Kevin Fowler, who's now a regional country star, and was he played with us for about 9 months and did a shit ton of shows, 100 shows, shit, maybe double that, in the year of 93. And because Danny left in 92, and we didn't make a record yet, we just went on the road. And when we came back, we hooked up with Paul, and he moved to Texas. January 1st of 94, knock, knock, knock on my front door. There's Paul Idell standing there. Never, he's been here ever since. So that's a long time. And any of his predecessors, he's been in Dangerous Toys longer than any of his predecessors combined. So I let it slip that he's original because the other four guys are totally original. We all played on the first record, and then there's Paul. Well, he's pretty much, yeah. So yeah, that's how that kind of went down. But I love, so when the Dirty Looks thing came together, going on, God, 6 years ago now, the idea for those guys to, do a 2.0, because Henrik Ostergaard had passed away, they were going to need a singer, and Jack and Gene had called Paul, and what do you think about doing the Dirty Looks thing again, and making it kind of a tribute to Henrik, and of course, and all that. And Paul's response was, yeah, I would love to do it as long as Jason's the singer.
There you go. Yeah.
I was like,
Nice.
this is just a story I heard after the fact, because, but according to Paul and others, the reaction between Jack and Gene was like, you think he wants to do it? And Paul starts laughing in the video in my mind, because he knows that I will kill anyone who gets in my way to stand in those shoes. So
It's great.
there it goes. I those guys came to town, and we rehearsed up the set, and then COVID hit.
COVID kind
And
of
so
put a
we canceled
pin in
we
everything.
Yeah, we canceled the shows that we had, a couple shows booked already, and people were getting excited about, what, Dirty Looks? Wait, what? And eventually we got it back together, and we recorded our first gig, our first live gig. That's that album. That's that live album. It's still available, dirtylooksmusic.com.
Oh yeah, it's great. I've listened to it. It still sounds just like it would have sounded in 88, 89. I mean, like I say, you're a great singer with
Thank
the
you.
voice you have. You can pretty kind of put yourself in a lot of different musical situations as far as the sound of your voice. I think that's great that you have so much going on, and it makes me happy to know you're still making music. You're still I played with Dirty Looks. I'm doing Watchtower. I'll go with the toys whenever they go.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys I talk to, sir, I haven't picked up a guitar in 30 years. When I left that, I left it. I don't even want to have anything to do with it anymore, which I understand that too.
Sure.
I get it. Been there,
Sure.
done that, got the t-shirt, but you're still
Well,
going, man, and that's great.
yeah, I have a great support system by way of family, and on the other side of that same coin is I have plenty of fire. I'm still in love, I'm still
Sure.
romantic about it.
Right.
And it slowed down a lot because, I didn't, whatever. There's no complaints. I have no regrets, but, I didn't quite sell enough records to be able to grow it as a business, whether
Yes.
it be because of climate or,
Right.
I'm going to write songs that I think sound good, and I'm not going to write songs that someone else thinks is good. I also have a theory that if you had a career, if you sold, platinum or double platinum prior to about 1991, you still have a career. You
Sure.
still have a touring career, and you are making enough money to make a record, and you made a big enough footprint where there's enough fans out there that will buy and download your catalog every time you do something new. They're going to go and buy it again. And for the biggest footprint I have is it's a different kind of footprint with Watchtower, but there's just
Yes.
not enough material. Like the
Right.
toys have, this many records out. I'm holding up
Right.
one hand, and
Yeah.
Watchtower has, one or not half of that. So,
Right.
and that's more of an underground thing. It was no major label push, not other than the second record, which I'm not on, the Watchtower stuff. And they made quite an impact, but it was very short-lived. For the same reason that people you may talk to that go, yeah, I haven't picked up a guitar in 30 years, similar situation because they're raising a family. Well, I'm not making any money playing rock music, so
Yeah,
I'm gonna go get a
exactly.
fucking job, And
Exactly.
that's
Oh, yeah.
great. That's fucking great. The ideas that, like I was saying, the game I was sort of playing with, you got to do what you got to do in order to keep playing music,
Sure.
or in order to go the other way, or to be
Right.
able to do both, you have to do whatever it is you feel you have to do to be able to stay, keep your chops up and play gigs when they arrive and raise a family. But there's a balancing act there for sure. And rock and roll don't pay like it used to. So,
I imagine, yeah.
yeah. So, you have to, it's a balancing act. But I work for the School of Rock, and I've been a show director and an instructor there for going on 20 years.
Wow, that's
And
good.
yeah, and I'm getting older, and so, I kind of make my own schedule. And so, it's easy for me to fly and go do some shows and come back and
Yeah.
make some money and put it
Oh
in the
yeah.
bank and then work a couple of days and then do it all over again. So, more or less a weekend warrior, slows down around the end of the year, and that's kind of where I'm at. I'm busy enough, but I'll always take more work.
Of course.
Someone wants to book any of my bands,
Yeah.
by all means. But sometimes the phone rings and sometimes it doesn't, and I'm not sitting there staring at the phone either.
Oh, well that I mean that's good.
I
That
got
yeah, that's
better
good.
shit to do
Right.
than stare at the phone.
Well, Jason, I'm sure this is probably the weirdest podcast. I don't know. I just like to talk to people. I like to
Yeah.
talk to people that I have, like I say, listened to for 35 years. I never imagined I will be talking to you on a podcast. And the podcast I have is something I ran my mouth about for years. And then my wife's like, either do it or shut up.
Yeah, well,
So I
smart
started
lady.
doing it, and it's not going to be nothing huge, but I'm having fun doing it, and I'm talking to people that I have a love for and a passion for their music, and
Yeah, man.
that's the way this podcast goes, man.
Well, I to be clear, I have a podcast for the same reasons that you have a podcast.
Right.
For the same exact reason. And it wasn't long before I had a podcast that I didn't really know what the hell a podcast was, because here's a way that I say, another way I say it is, like, for a guy who doesn't really like podcasts, that's me. I don't really listen to any
Sure.
podcasts, or, you
Yeah.
know, every once in a while, someone who I totally admire will be on a podcast, and I'll find it. I'll go look for it to listen to it if I totally
Right.
adore that person. But I don't really listen to talk radio or radio, period. I don't, you know, I'm
Yeah.
my own DJ, man. I
There
want to
you
hear
go.
what I want to fucking hear, you know.
Right.
I'm an analog man, you know. So it's, anyway, the podcast, been doing it 3 years now, hundreds of episodes, talk to idols, people I adore, right?
Sure.
Idols kind
Yeah.
of a, idol's kind
Yeah,
of a
right.
too heavy of a word, but you, I know you get it. I know you understand. So
Oh yeah.
it's the same thing, man. Me and my co-host, Metal Dave Glessner, we love it because we learn a lot about people that we, I mean, I learn to admire people that he'll bring in, or, you know, he'll book on the calendar, and then he'll learn, you know, it goes both ways.
Sure.
And then sometimes we get someone who we both, you know, they just litter our record collection, and it's like, I can't believe we've got so and so, you know.
Yeah, it's
And
great.
it'll be a total nerd fest, and it's been so fun. Like I
Yeah.
said, ditto. It's the same reason that you have a podcast that we have a podcast, and here we are, years and hours, and you know, we not making any money, you know.
Right.
Or the money we're making, it's, you know, we sold a t-shirt, you know what I
Yeah,
mean? We're
right.
not making any money.
Right.
But it's not about that.
Well,
So,
Jason, I do appreciate your time.
of course.
I'm long-winded on these things sometimes, and I've tried to push them back just a little bit because, you know, yeah, you're kind enough to come talk to me, and I know you got better things to do than talk about a guy sitting in a room, you know, but I love listening to stories. That's kind of what the podcast is all about. Tell me all about your career. Tell me about your whatever you want to tell me. You know,
Yeah.
just the open mic, go for it. And I do appreciate you, sir.
Yeah. Well, my band Igniter put out a new record about
Okay.
10 days ago called Horns and Hammers. It's kind of power metal. It's melodic. It's very Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Halloween type of
Nice.
songs, and very European metal, if you will. And it's out now. Igniter, Horns and Hammers. We're releasing a video November 12th, a song called Shattered Crosses. And we have a video out off the record now, called Machine Gun, which is actually a song by Saxon.
Okay.
And it's got guest vocals by Mark Lopes from Metal Church.
Nice.
And it has a solo on it, played by Ross the Boss from Manowar. And so yeah, the US release will be out in a couple of weeks, but the European version, we got a stack of those on CD, and we're selling those off our website. So if you go
Okay.
to igniterband.com, you can check it out, or you can just go listen to all the songs right now. It's on all platforms. And I'm writing songs and collaborating with people all the time. So yeah, if you want to like look up some things about me that you may or may not know.
I'm going to check Igniter out just as soon as we get through
Yeah.
talking.
Oh, cool. If you like
Yeah.
Iron Maiden and Judas Priest,
Sure.
you'll like it. It's a little thrashy sometimes, but so is Judas Priest and Iron Maiden.
Sure.
So
Well, sir, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all the, years of great music. I appreciate you. I'm a huge fan, and just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, man, you too. Thank you, Jeremy. I appreciate you.
And I hope you had a nice time. You know, I hope we'll stay in contact. You know, I'm not one just to put somebody on a podcast, and I might hit you up and just say hello. How are you doing? I hope that's okay.
Sure. Well, I'm a heavy metal nerd, as you can tell. Looks like
Yes.
we're cut from a similar cloth. So
Right.
reach out anytime. I'd love to come back on.
Yes, sir.
All
You have
right.
a good day, sir. And thank you so much. God bless you and take care,
All
okay?
right. Back at you. Thank you,
Bye-bye,
Jeremy.
bye-bye, Jason.
Bye-bye. Take care. Good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.